1 Peter chapter 2, and I want to finish out what we looked at last week, and that was an examination of our longing for God's Word. I want to pick that back up again and review just a little bit, and then I want to take it one step further so that we can fully understand about this longing and the necessity of this longing and what this longing shows to us. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, first three verses, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Now we noted, first of all, in chapter 2 and verse 1, the very first word. And that is the word wherefore, or therefore. And we noted that that therefore refers to the previous verses. And those verses are dealing with the Word of God. And so it says in verse 23, "being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the what? By the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because man," verse 24, "all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endures how long? Forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." And so we have that, therefore, because of the Word of God. And what has the Word of God done for us? It has rebirthed us. We have been born again. It is by a pure, incorruptible seed. And it is a seed which will never, ever leave us. Once it has taken root in the soul of a man or a woman, it takes root, doesn't it? And if it falls in that good soil, then that plant grows, it bears forth fruit, and that fruit is eternal. It does not ever leave us. And so, seeing that that is the case, and the fact that man withers and the flower falls away, since the things of man are not eternal, then we need to lay aside those things that are of man, and we need to engraft the things that are of God. Well, what things would be of man? Well, it would be those things of our depraved nature. So he says, verse 1 of chapter 2, "laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." So we talked about living within the boundaries of the gospel means that we need to lay aside, you remember I worded it this way, our old, comfortable, but now not comfortable, our old comfortable dress. Right? It is old, isn't it? And it was, which is a better term, it was comfortable. But now that we are born again, we have better attire. So what is that old comfortable dress by which we used to live our life? Well, it was things like malice. It was all forms of depravity, of mean-spirited. You know, people are mean, and if you tell them that they're being mean, they'll tell you they're not. They're not being mean. They're so used to being clothed with that type of mean-spirited, they actually think that they're being nice. And the reason for that is because they could be much more what? They could be much more mean. And so we're to lay aside that dress, that all forms of depravity and mean-spirited. We're to lay aside all guile, all forms of deceit and taking advantage of things and being really smart about how to get our way and how to get more money and You know, the world calls this good stewardship sometimes, and we're just to lay aside all that, because that is not of the Lord, is it? And it certainly isn't of the Word of God. We're to lay aside all forms of jealousies. Envies is what our Bible, King James, calls it here in chapter 2 and verse 1. And we are jealous people, aren't we? We'll look at someone else and, you know, there they are and God gives them something nice and, you know, they're wicked and they're not doing right and they're pulling strings and here you are trying to follow God and do what's right and you don't have all those things. And we get what? We get jealous about those types of things. And then all evil speakings, all forms of slander, damaging people, their reputation, putting down people so that we look better, all forms of that type of thing. We're to lay all those things aside because that's our old life, isn't it? But now that we're believers, we're not to walk or be dressed in those types of things. We're to be dressed in the righteousness of who? Of Jesus Christ. And Jesus never was that way, was he? He never was full of malice or guile or hypocrisy or envies or evil speaking. He never did any of that, did he? Neither should any believer. I don't know if you've ever done any of those things and the Lord has taken his proverbial spiritual soap and washed your mouth out. Washed your soul out. And sometimes we just need a good scrubbing down with God's soap to purify us back, because we have already purified our souls in obeying the truth. So we need to be pure. And we made note here in verse 1 that these types of sins are sins for which God sends people where? He sends people to hell for those types of sins. And I think sometimes we forget exactly how serious sin is. And so we ought to lay those things aside. Why? Because we've been born again. Why? Because we have purified our souls in obeying the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Why? Because we know that the glory of man is like grass, and the flower fades and it withers away. But God's word lasts forever. That's why we ought to do that. So what do you replace all that with? In other words, if you lay aside the dress of all forms of malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, well, what type of dress is Peter telling that you ought to put on? Well, it ought to be the dress of changed desires. Right? He says, as newborn babes desire, there's the word, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Wouldn't it be better to put on the garb of pure desires instead of those desires of malice and guile? We got to do that if, as believing people, if we want our desires to be proper. So we need to long for this. Now note that we are to desire the sincere milk of the what? Of the Word. So let's just stop here and ask ourselves, how is our desires? How are your longings? When you woke up this morning, were you thinking, very first thing, were you thinking about food or were you thinking about food? Were you thinking about pouring milk on your cereal or were you thinking about getting in the milk of the Word of God? They say, health experts, whoever they are, say that if you've really eaten properly the day before, that you ought to wake up with a slight hunger for breakfast. Okay. I'm asking you, do you wake up with a hunger for God's Word? Now, what if your longings aren't what they should be? What do you do? Well, here's what you first have to do. You have to check and see if your first thoughts were malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. You know, people wake up sinning. They wake up thinking, now, how am I going to get around this person? How am I going to get my way in this? What do I have to do? How dare that person had done that to me? People think that way. We've got to desire the sincere milk of the Word. What does that desire look like? It looks like a newborn baby. Now, I gave a little illustration last week about that, but now you'll be able to answer this. We have a newborn granddaughter. She is newborn. You agree with me? She's a little bit over a week old. That's pretty newborn. How often do you think she hungers to eat? Let me give you some options. Christmas and Easter. What do you think? Okay. All the guys are looking at me like, I don't know. I don't know how often they feed. All the women are saying, no. Okay. How about monthly? Weekly? Well, how often do you think she's eating? Now, don't answer. How often do you think she's eating? Come on, we have a nurse, we have moms, grandmothers. You are correct. As newborn babes, desire. Now, brethren, I just want to say this from a pastoral perspective, and I understand our difficulties in an age that is, you know, we're just so full of things that are there to do, and we're being pushed around by schedule, and we're just crowded with so many cares of the world today, aren't we? Okay. But I do want to say this. I don't understand someone who says that they are a believer and they can go days without picking up their Bible. I was going to say weeks, but really my shock is days. That certainly wouldn't be like a newborn babe, would it? And it certainly wouldn't be like themselves naturally. In fact, there's a movement today in the holistic health medicines and all that type of stuff. And a lot of that has real serious problems biblically with it. But they say this. They say, you know, you shouldn't be eating three times a day. You should be grazing all through the day. In other words, you ought to eat a light breakfast, have a mid-morning snack, go ahead and have a little bit heavier lunch, have another mid-afternoon snack, and then have a lighter meal right before, you know, before 6, and then you can, you know, go to bed. Okay, that's what they're saying. That'd be a good thing for us with our Bibles, wouldn't it? I don't understand people who say they love the Lord and they love God's people and they love God's commandments and they would never entertain the idea that they're doing anything sinful. And then when you ask them about their Bible reading, they just are not what? They're just not doing it. The latest survey that I heard last week, sometime within the last week, said that they took a poll of Americans and their view of spirituality, and something like 85% of Americans believe that they are spiritual people. Then a question was asked, how many of them associated the Bible with their spirituality, and it was less than 15%. The things that they associate with spirituality were things like meditation and feelings and emotions. But when it came to the Bible, it was last. Now, is that a problem? That is a problem, isn't it? But I've thought about taking a survey in the churches I pastored, but frankly, I've been scared. I know you're not supposed to live in the delusion, but I've been scared to find out exactly what is the Bible reading habits of the people of God. And I'm afraid that we might not be too far off what is normal out there or what is average. So let me ask you again, I'm not asking how is your reading, I'm asking how is your longing? A longing that is to be just like newborn babes. The other thing about my granddaughter is, and this is true of all babies, not only is she wanting to feed about every couple of hours, but she wakes up with clockwork. And the moment she feels that gnawing in her tummy, she starts squirming around. And brethren, when we ought to be feeling the gnawing in our spiritual inner man when it comes to the things of God's Word. The Bible uses things like hunger and thirst and long and desire. And for some of us, that might mean, 20 minutes in the morning of reading, and, that's where you're at. For others of us who are more mature, you might need several hours spread out through the day of being in God's Word. And sometimes we've got to be reminded. I think of one of our members who carries cards, and every time they get in a fainting situation, they go and they pull that card out and they read that verse. What are they doing? They're saying, I'm hungry. Okay, I need that. And that's a good thing, isn't it? So let me ask you again, how is your longing for the Word of God? Now, I want to bring back to our attention again. We're not just longing, look at verse 2, we're just not longing to read our Bible. What is our longing for? The Bible is just the means by which we're doing something. What are we really longing for that Word to do? To grow us. To nourish us, right? And, it's just like a baby. A baby isn't sitting here thinking, now, how do I grow? A, B, C, D. No, they just say, give me the milk. And the milk goes in, and what happens to the child? They grow. Okay? And there are things that we can understand when it comes to growing, but brethren, basically, you just need to take it in. We come to our Bibles because we want to grow. Now, that is a paradox that I have found discouraging as a pastor. I've pastored two churches, and in both of those churches, when I went in there, there wasn't hardly much desire to grow. It's like, well, once I pray the prayer and ask God to save me, well, what more is there? There is much more. There is so much more, you have no idea how much more. And it's that growth and what we've done with the deposit that God has given to us that we'll be judged on in that day. And He expects that if He gives you, as it were, 5 coins when He saves you, He expects you to double that by the time you get to Him. What does He do with the man that doesn't do anything with his money? He says, Lord, I knew You are a stern man, so I just took what You gave me and I went and hid it. Jesus says, you take what was given to that man and give it to someone else, and that man gets sent where? Yeah, and I'm not talking about eternal security or anything like that. What I'm telling us we've got to do something with what God's given us. And so we are to desire to grow, and we do that by the sincere milk of the Word. Now, what I'm interested in is this. Now, what is the foundation of this desire? And the foundation of that desire is wrapped up in verse 3. Our desire for the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby, starts because we have what? We've tasted. What have we tasted? Well, we have tasted the graciousness of who? Yeah, the Lord. The word gracious here is the word for kindness. We have tasted the kindness of the Lord. What is the Lord's kindness? I'm trying to find what is the foundation of this desire. I'm to desire the sincere milk to grow. What's the foundation? Well, it has to do with my tasting. Tasting what? The kindness of the Lord. What is the kindness? Well, note that the word taste is present or past? It's past tense. And also, you remember, I reviewed that the first word in chapter 2 and verse 1 is the word what? Wherefore. What occurred in verses 22 and 23 of 1 Peter chapter 1? What happened? Yeah, they were what? Born again by the what? By the Word of God. Would you not agree with me that being born again is an immense kindness from God? Okay. So what he's saying is this, that the foundation of our desire is based on God's kindness to us. A kindness that we, if we've been genuinely converted, we have what? Tasted. Everybody see that? We've tasted. Have you tasted the kindness of God in rebirth? Because, brethren, lost people do not have these desires. Lost people don't desire to get in their Bibles to grow. Now, they might decide they're going to read their Bible, but they're not reading their Bible to what? To grow. They might come and they might even go to church and listen to what the Bible has to say, but they're not there to engraft the Word of God in their lives. That is the furthest thing from their mind. They don't want to be changed, or we would say, saved from anything. And so they can sit in a service and they can listen to Bible preaching. They can attend themselves to the Lord's Supper. They can partake of that. They could even have good thoughts about God, as it were. But they're not approaching the Bible to be changed at all. They don't want to grow. They don't want to be nourished. Why? Because, brethren, the appetites of our heart come from a changed nature. Let me ask you this question. Does the Father love the Son? The Son is the Word made. All right. Does the Father love the Word? Yes. Does He have desires toward it? Is His affections toward that? Yes. All right. We've got to have a born-again nature to have those types of desires. And it comes through being born again. God doing a supernatural, recreated work in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. It's got to be there. And if you have somebody there and there is absolutely nothing, there's no desire, there's no long, there's nothing there, then what you may be looking at is a person who's not what? Who's not born again. They're not saved. They don't know the Lord. Why do they not know the Lord? Is it because they haven't heard the Word of God? Is it because they couldn't answer a quiz on a test that says, is the Lord kind? They would say, yes. Is that the reason? No. It's because they have not tasted. They've not tasted. Now, this is a fascinating word, isn't it? In other words, brethren, our longings, our desires for growth is a result of being born again by the Word of God, just like a baby. If a baby was born and had no desire to eat, would you say, oh, they're okay? No, you'd be on the phone with a pediatrician, you'd be calling, help, 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 right? Then why is it in the church of the living God, when people don't do that, nobody's crying help? Instead, we're saying, well, they're okay. They prayed a prayer. Praying a prayer is not the issue. The issue is, are you born again? That's the issue. People pray prayers all the time, don't they? So the desires, the change of appetite comes when we have been born again, when our souls have been purified. And brethren, you know this is true. You know this is true. You know you have to taste that the Lord is gracious. Where do you learn that the Lord is gracious? Through the gospel, right? Where do you learn about the gospel? In your Bible. Right? Okay. How do you get saved? You get saved by the Bible. You bring in that Bible inside your soul, right? And you believe it. That's called tasting. And when a person genuinely has come to experience by taste, a spiritual taste, a spiritual engrafting, the kindness of God through the gospel, he doesn't ever forget what that tasted like. And you know what? What do you think he does now? What do you think he does when he's tasted of the living water? You think he just goes away and says, hey, I'm heading back out to the desert. What do you think he does? He wants more. He wants more, doesn't he? So as newborn babes, you need to desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, if it really is this, that you have tasted that the Lord is kind. You know, really, the argument here is that if you want to improve your desires, well, you got to lay aside sinful things. And in laying aside those sinful things, you need to remember that taste that you had. You got a favorite food? You know, we can have a favorite food, and I can mention that food. You know, I enjoy fish. I can say to myself, my wife can say, would you like to have fish for dinner? I can almost taste it. Why? Because I've already what? I've already tasted it. And I know what it's going to taste like. Right? And I remember that, and what happens inside me? I begin to long for that. We'll say, boy, I've been waiting all day. You told me we were going to have this for supper. I've been waiting all day for this, you know. And then your wife says, well, it burned. It didn't happen. And you're like, ugh. Okay. But my point is that the mention of the food generates desire because you have already tasted it. And brethren, that ought to happen every Sunday morning. And every Sunday afternoon. And every Wednesday. It ought to happen when you wake up in the morning. It ought to happen when you get hit with calamity. It ought to happen when you're tempted to evil speak. It ought to happen when your soul gets frustrated and worried and anxious and bottled up and knotted up. There ought to be this what? This remembrance. But instead, what people do, including believing people, they'll go out and they'll feel that longing and they will go out and buy something. Or they will go out and get a pop. Or they will go out and get alcohol. Or they will go out and take drugs. Folks, none of that is for a believer. God never intended, whether it be evil things or good things, to satisfy your thirst for the Bible. Your thirst for the Bible can only be met by the what? By the Bible itself. And you know, brethren, there are indications of this in our Bibles. I went through, I don't know if we'll do this, but I'll just mention this. I went through Psalm 119, and I noted phrases like this. I desire your commandments with my whole heart. Or I yearn for your word, O God. Or this, Lord, incline my heart not to covetousness, but to your word. Do you hear his longing? Or he would say this, I delight in your word above all wealth. Now, I can guarantee you people can have a great longing for that, right? When I was a boy, and I was lost in my middle school years, at lunchtime, we used to all go out. There was a big foyer area outside. And there was a grate out there in the center of it. And we would have money wars. And I mean money wars. I mean, we'd get in a fight. And what would happen is that somebody, usually from the crowd, I was right in the middle of this thing, they would take a quarter and they would toss it into the middle of us. And the goal was to stomp on it, so that you can reach down and get it, and whoever got it, got to what? Got to keep it. And there was great bloodshed that went on out there. And the worst thing that could happen is if the money fell in the grate. And people were literally trying to jam their hands down there to try to get that quarter. What are we doing? We're longing for something, right? And brethren, you mention these things to God's people. And you say, how is your Bible reading? Are you reading it to grow? And they look at you like, what are you talking about? If that's our case here tonight, then I want to just put this out to you that that is a red light. That is a warning light to your soul. If you're here tonight, you say, boy, I do long to grow, but you know, it's not what it ought to be. Then that is a yellow light. And you know, the psalmist in Psalm 119, when he felt that way, the Bible uses this phrase, he cried aloud. He just confessed to the Lord, Lord, I don't have this. Lord, help me. I need this. Give this. Did the Lord answer it? He answers all prayers that are according to His will. And I can assure you, for you to be a hungry baby is His will. We're to long for it, hunger for it, thirst for it, pray for it. We're to study it. We're to meditate on it. We're to be instructed about it. And we're to take all that and put this, pack it down into the soil of our soul. And we're to water it by the Word of God. We're to till it and keep out all the cares of the world and all that type of stuff out of there so that it can grow. And you know what you'll find? You will ultimately find this, that you will have the peace of God. You'll have the peace of God among all the other fruits. You'll get to the place where if you're anxious, you got to go get your Bible. Because that's the only thing that's going to help us. So, brethren, may God do this in our own hearts and in our church. May God give to us a hunger and a thirst. And I'll tell you what, next time somebody calls you or talks to you or complains to you or evil speaks to you, say to them, can I ask you a question? And they'll say what?
Sure.
They'll say, no problem. How's your Bible reading? And you know what they're going to do? They're going to go, bah, bah. Because that's what they need. They need to open their Bible for nourishment. Let's pray.